things that additional things we'll need to do. And those will be carried out over the course of the life of the plan. And as part of the deliberation of the board, it will be identifying actions that will need to be taken and data gaps that will be identified that will be prioritized for filling over the course. And then every 5 years, as we submit the progress report and demonstrate to the state where we are on our interim targets, we'll make adjustments to the plan based upon new information and actions that are taken. So it's going to be a pretty dynamic plan. I know there's a lot of emphasis to move this plan through and get it developed right now, but we also need to keep in mind it's just the beginning of the long journey towards sustainability. So with that, the first major chapters that were put out were the basin setting chapter and complementary piece of monitoring network that was put out for public review. And that public review period ended yesterday. And again, this is still going to remain draft, but it really affords the public an opportunity to review the drafts as they come out. Christine is compiling and summarizing the comments, and we'll be presenting that for discussion and recommendation to the SHAC next week. And from that point, we'll be getting recommendations from the SHAC, and she will bring those summaries of the basin setting on the comments and SHAC comments and recommendations, if there are any, to the board in October. So you'll be afforded a summary of the basin setting, what comments we got, and what recommendations came up from the SHAC. Staff will eventually respond to comments and modify the draft plan, and it will remain draft until it's packaged up into the final GSP. I should note also that comments that come in on any aspect of the GSP, we are compiling those throughout the entire process, and that will be an element that's also part of the plan. We have to document all the comments that came in, response to comments, and how we address those. So it is creating a real solid record of the plan. And that's a required element in the groundwater sustainability plan. So with that, the basin setting really sets that scientific foundation. And at the next board meeting, you'll hear a summary of that and the comments that came in and recommendations from the SHAC. Switching now to groundwater sustainability plan completion, that next phase, that's going to cover all the remaining chapters remaining in the GSP. And that's what we're going to be worked on through the consultant GeoSyntech and their team and staff. There are a number of chapters and pieces of the GSP that staff are going to be working on, as well as GeoSyntech. And really three pillars of the final section of the GSP. The sustainable management criteria is a major pillar. Projects and management actions is another one. And then representative monitoring is a third pillar. And all of these are related to each other, and they're going to need to work together as we go through the process. So right now, we're in the drafting stage of all of these. GeoSyntech has the basin setting information. They're largely going to start to draft the sustainable management criteria, and beginning with identifying undesirable results. And that gets into looking at what impacts to private wells, ag wells, groundwater dependent ecosystems, stream depletion. So all those users and uses of groundwater have to be accounted for. And if groundwater level decline or loss of interconnected streams through the basin setting are showing that they're going to cause impacts or undesirable results to those uses and users, those are going to be identified. And preliminarily, they're looking to have a public review draft on those out by January of 2021. So right at New Year's, we'll start taking a look at those. And then shortly after that, in February, there'll be public review drafts of measurable objectives, minimum thresholds. And that's where we're going to start having discussions about where we need to set the basin to avoid those undesirable results. So there's going to be a lot of action and drafting over the next few months. Representative monitoring will also come out for public review draft in February of 2021. And those are the locations of the specific monitoring wells that are we're gonna use to gauge our performance on achieving our measurable objectives over the course of the plan. So those are important to identify. The third pillar is project and management actions. We're gonna begin the process with the shacks, starting preliminarily at the next meeting, going over the format of the discussion. And in October, we'll have some specific discussions on the types of project management actions and considerations that they're gonna be looking to recommend to the board to take into consideration. We're gonna look to have a workshop, public workshop in November on some preliminary concepts. And we'll be briefing the board in probably December or January on the status of that. But we'll be, as part of GSP development, having a standing item on a verbal update on the development of that. So the range of project management actions can run in, you know, as we discussed last time, a whole range of things. We're looking at what other plans have done and looking at ideas and concepts people have out here. One thing I do want to mention is one thing we've been looking at is how to capture ag conservation, how to improve irrigation practices. You know, agriculture is the major groundwater user in the basin. So we've been exploring ways to identify what are those irrigation practices that are the most efficient. So we've been talking to UC Davis and Cooperative Extension researchers on survey methods and other research tools that they've used to identify that. So I'm hoping through the management committee, we'll have something to report at the next board meeting up from the shack on an ag survey to look at ag irrigation efficiency. And that could be a piece of the puzzle for sustainability. With that, that's the status of GSP development. We're on schedule, as we said last time, these preliminary drafts on completion will be out roughly in early winter or February, January for comment. We'll be working up through the stakeholder advisory committee, up through the board with the idea we should have these draft chapters done by June of 2021, and that will give us time to package them all up into a cohesive groundwater sustainability plan over the summer. And then by the end of August, little less than a year, we'll have the complete package. Then we'll go for another round of public comment, public hearings, and then start working up through hearings up through the board for adoption. So that's the status of the plan right now.
Do any board members have any comments or questions?
I have a couple quick questions. First one.
Say your name, Evan.
Oh, sorry. Thank you. Board Member Tuschinski. Question about the comments that you received. About how many comments came from the public, and were the constituents who commented about representative of the stakeholder board, or were they from different sectors?
Christina's received those comments, and they ended yesterday, so she was diligently working through those comments today, so I don't know. But she'll, I think, next Tuesday at the SHAC meeting, she'll have a staff report and discussion of those.
Great. And then about the project management actions, I asked a little bit about this last time too. Are there projects that are kind of already in mind, perhaps because they're from our neighboring sub-basins in our county or others, or are we starting from kind of a blank slate of ideas that we're working off of?
We're going
into- You mentioned the other ones that might, sorry, go ahead, please.
Yeah, we're gonna go into it with a blank slate for the the shack, initially the shack, to discuss and give some ideas about direction where they may want to go, other ideas that may come up. So that's what I'm going to talk real briefly with them at the next meeting. The next meeting is mostly going to be discussing the basin setting comments and possible recommendations on that. And that's going to take some time. So the project and management action discussion is going to be about framing, about what types of information we want to bring in for the next meeting. And we can draw upon other plans. There might be other considerations we might want to add in, limitations the VINA board may want to put in in one case, like recharge projects, about limitations. And we discussed that a little bit last time. Valerie talked about some of those options you have. So we're basically going to start with a blank slate, but I think one of the advantages of having a non-critically overdrafted basin is we can draw upon other plans that have been submitted and pick and choose on some of the paths that have come up, as well as, I think, when we go out for public comment, draw upon the innovation and good ideas we'll get from the shack and the public.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Are there other questions from board members? Seeing none, let's see if there are any members of the...
Anne, I do see that Jim... Oh, sorry.
Oh, I was going to open it up to members of the public. And it looks like we have at least a couple, but please, this is the time that you should raise your hand or indicate in the chat that you would like to speak. Looks like we have at least two people, and each person can address the board for 3 minutes.
I will let you choose who to go first, but we have Jim Brobeck and Deborah Lucero.
I think I saw Jim's hand up first.
Yes. Thank you, Chairperson Ann. I took part in a groundwater dependent ecosystem advisory group, I guess you call it. It was kind of ad hoc. It wasn't part of a Brown Act or anything. And I understand that we're going to have just that one chance to advise whoever's putting the groundwater dependent ecosystem formula or paper or guidelines for Butte County. I invested quite a few hours in studying the Nature Conservancy guidelines and identifying gaps in these guidelines, such as they don't talk about urban forests, they don't really talk about valley oak woodlands, and they don't talk about water table levels lower than 30 feet. I thought those were all pretty significant. And my question is, who's going to formulate the final groundwater dependent ecosystem report? And is it going to be applied to all the Butte County GSAs, or is this just for the VINA GSA? And is there going to be the ability for the public to weigh in on what constitutes groundwater dependent ecosystems? Let me know if you want those questions again, Paul.
Through the chair, do you want me to address them?
Please.
You're not the chair.
Let's finish let's finish the comments, and then we'll have staff answer address the questions after all the comments have been made. Do you have any other comments, Jim, or questions?
No, that's it. That's it. Okay. I just want some clarification on those questions. So if you need a reminder, just let me know and I'll unmute again. But I'm going to mute right now.
All right. And then I believe we had one more speaker, Deborah Lucera.
I was just curious how often this board will hear the information or the plan prior to it being packaged for the public. So in other words, will there be updates as the plan is being put together that will be brought back to this board prior to it being put together in a nice package for the public to comment on?
Okay, thank you. So any other speakers? Okay. Paul, are you able to answer those questions?
Yes. So Jim's question about groundwater dependent ecosystems, and Kelly's on the line, who's been leading that effort. So we had pulled together an ad hoc committee to assist in the identification of groundwater dependent ecosystems. And it was built upon a methodology that the Nature Conservancy put together with Fish and Wildlife and some others. And this was something as groundwater managers started to put together SGMA, we recognized groundwater dependent ecosystems is critically important. We didn't have the expertise on the biology. It was something we recognized we weren't going to go out and expend our own resources on hiring biologists, and that there were experts out there that we could rely on. And we didn't want to keep reinventing the wheel in each subbasin. So the Nature Conservancy came up with a methodology that wasn't intended to be the final cut. So they had polygons and other things to identify, and it really required that local stakeholders take a look to really clarify where there were groundwater dependent ecosystems. So Kelly's been working with an ad hoc group to work through that, to identify the ones and areas where they were. Jim mentioned some other issues that were being brought up on Valley Oaks and others and urban forests. The idea is from that ad hoc committee is going to get reported out to the SHAC and then up through the board for consideration about, identification. All of that's going to then be brought to into the process of sustainable management criteria to evaluate whether there's undesirable results to groundwater dependent ecosystems. So this was just the first step in a long process on developing groundwater dependent ecosystems. The methodology we worked in a similar format in the other three subbasins with the GSA managers and to refine that. So in the end, I think Jim asked too, who ultimately makes decisions, and ultimately the board makes the final decisions. We'll be packaging up the discussions, we'll be reporting up the recommendations from the SHAC, and I think for the board, the full range of comments and considerations. So you will not just be getting a single answer without sort of the full context of the information. So that's the plan for GDEs, a considerable amount of work, a new aspect we want to look at, but critically important. And Supervisor Lasura asked about updates to the VINA board throughout the GSP development process. And it's our intent to keep an update on GSP development as a standing item. I think as we start moving items through the SHAC, which will happen move routinely through the fall, through the winter, through the schedule, those are going to be reported up as updates to the board. And, we'll be, as issues come up, we may be bringing items to the board for direction, as if there's policy issues or some things that we desire direction. So yes, it's our intent that every meeting, there will be an update, and some of them may be more substantial than others as the development goes on. So I hope that I addressed the two questions.
Good. We'll move to item 6.2, which is consideration of a GSP extension letter to the governor. The board is asking for to act on this item, and we have a report from Paul Gosling.
Yes, this issue came up immediately once the COVID pandemic hit and we had to cancel meetings, and it was really uncertain about the ability for us to engage not only the stakeholder advisory committee, but the public. And as we were going through this, we've been learning a lot, we've been adapting. But as one of the main aspects of SGMA is they placed a very high bar on public engagement. And that's something we had taken to heart when the governance was put together about forming advisory committees and the structures we put in. To really bring that on. Discussions with the SHAC, we've recognized that as best we can through facilitated meetings, this is not optimal to get public comment, public engagement. It's difficult for a lot of people to utilize the technology, the online aspects of it. Some people don't have bandwidth. or may not have the technology to participate, and those people we're not reaching. We can't reach people in the public, and it's oftentimes very difficult for people to engage in this format rather than some of the other formats where you can have discussions face-to-face. You know, sometimes it's intimidating for some to participate in this format versus others. So that was something, although we're on track to finish the plan, it's a matter of how we finish that plan. And if we cut short or shortchange public engagement, we're not going to produce the best plan that we can with the involvement of the public. So we've talked about this a couple times with the SHAC. The last meeting, we had a real good discussion with them. There was a recommendation that came forward to recommend that the Vina GSA board write a letter to the governor, notify the other member agencies, and in the legislative delegation on this request. We had drafted the letter with the suggestion and the recommendation from the SHAC did not include the length of an extension. As a starting point, I know there's a comment that it should have been longer. I would leave that open to the board for discussion if you do want to entertain an extension to modify that. A couple things, the Butte County Water Commission last week also recommended to the Butte County Board of Supervisors to submit a very similar letter requesting an extension. The board won't hear that till September 29th. And doing some checking around the state, there has been some interest in some quarters for similar extension requests. And some of these are in more remote rural areas where there's, a digital divide, where there's not internet connectivity and other limitations on that. So very similar circumstances, very keen to improve stakeholder engagement. So with that, I'll leave it to the board for your questions and comments.
Questions or comments from the board? And this would be the time for members of the public to raise your hand or indicate under the chat you'd like to speak.
Sure. This is Board Member Tuschinski. So Mr. Gosselin, you mentioned that some other areas of the state were exploring extensions as well. Do you have an idea if they were using 6 months as a benchmark or if they had expressed any time period?
Not that I know. I don't think they've gotten that far, but it, my understanding it has come up as an issue, but I don't think they've formalized it to the point that you have before you.
Other comments from the board?
Anne, would it be helpful if I pulled it up on the agenda packet, just the letter, so it's on the screen? Would anyone like that?
I have the letter myself, but would the board members like that?
I read it already. I don't know if it would help the public who's participating to see it.
Why don't you put it up helpful. Since...
Okay.
Okay.
I say that and now I have to find it.
Oh.
Let's see.
I guess while she's doing that, I have a question. Again, I always like to engage Ms. Kincaid, especially because she takes the time to log into our meetings. Do you foresee any legal issue with this? Is this? I know our letter mentions the governor's emergency. Forgive me for not having the exact words, it'll come up on the screen, but his emergency discretion. But this was a piece of legislation that was passed by the legislature. Is this something that the governor is going to be able to act on, or is this a whole big legislative operation that would need to take place?
Thanks. This is Valerie Kincaid. My sense is that the legislature would need to act. Now, the governor could do an executive order giving relief to a specific legislative provision, but I think he would clearly weigh in. And I know DWR's position, although it was before COVID, there were a lot of people pushing back on the 2020 plans for more time. And I know that they took the DWR took the position that it was a legislative deadline to submit your GSP, which it is the same for the 2022 plans. So I know DWR will certainly say that it's a legislative issue. And as we've seen very often, the governor can give emergency relief, but I think eventually this would have to go to the legislature to review and take action. So it's a good letter in the sense that it recognizes that. And it's not short-sighted to just say, you know, wave your wand. It's a process, but I think it's a good letter, and I think frankly it's a good ask.
And thank you.
If I can add, timing-wise, it's kind of in a good spot. The session's ending. It'll give us time to work with the legislative delegation and start talking to other sub-basins for, you know, a possible legislative filing in, you know, in January, February. So it would give us time to develop something for the legislative session.
And this is Anne. In the meantime, we would just continue to work on our schedule and, but perhaps not have as much public comment and engagement as we would want. And if the legislature governor agrees for an extension, then that just gives us more time to go out to the public for review of the plan. Okay. We did get one email that I know of that was from Greg Shornray, sorry. Did we receive any other emails?
I do not believe so. And Kelly said that she's available to read that if you need it to be read.
Would anybody like the letter to be read aloud? Or are you talking about the email?
Or the email, yes.
Yes. Kelly, can you read the email?
Sure. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Great. Okay, so this is a email that was received on Tuesday of this week from Mr. Greg Sonnery. It states, I am Greg Sonnery, a member of the Vina Shack. When we passed a motion to request a letter sent out regarding extending the timeline for Sigma, we never stated for just 6 months. I don't know where that came from. I feel that we should ask for up year a 2-year extension. I just heard that California COVID is listening to a Cambridge University study that they want us to keep social distancing and mask wearing for 18 more months. With that in mind, we can't have proper input from the public in this process. Also, we wanted the letter to be sent to the state legislator and DWR along with the governor. Thank you, Greg Sonnery.
So we have members of the public to speak. I had seen one hand, believe it was Mr. Brobeck. Did we have any other members of the public?
I'm not. Let's see. Yes, and Deborah Lucero.
Okay. So Mr. Brobeck, if you would like to address us for 3 minutes.
Thank you, Jim Brobeck, member of the Shack. There are other advantages associated with this as well that I would really appreciate being able to take advantage of. This would give us extra time to vet management actions. It would give us extra time to identify and maybe fill some of the monitoring gaps and some of the areas that we've identified, and would really help us getting a cogent plan formed if we could fill some of these gaps in the next 2 years, as Greg Sonnery suggests. And also give us an opportunity to develop more robust interbasin coordination. I'm really concerned that this push to get everything done so fast is going to lead to some inadvisable actions in the long run. And since we're not in critical overdraft, the more time we have to fill these data gaps, the better. And plus, of course, the stated purpose to get more public participation to be able to actually have public meetings. I really think that's important as well. Thanks for taking my comment. Thank
you. Ms. Lucero?
Yeah, I actually had a similar concern that Mr. Sonri had brought up concerning the time frame. I was wondering how we arrived at 6 months. And in government time, that's like a blink of an eye. So I'm just thinking that it's not going to be sufficient to do what we need to do, given the kind of crises that we've been experiencing and the work style that we're being forced into. That was my comment. Thank you.
Thank you. It looks like we have Bruce Smith also wanting to address the board. Mr. Smith.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree that 2 years is more reasonable for the same reason, so the public can get involved. I was supposed to be at the groundwater dependent ecosystem meeting. It took me almost 45 minutes to get on. Once I did, and I think that was WebEx, not Zoom. Once I got in, I couldn't hear anybody, didn't know who was there. I can't imagine anyone from the public being able to get that. And you're running into this coronavirus thing literally on all aspects. It's going to slow everything down. So I agree that 2 years is more reasonable to ask for. Thank you.
It looks like all the members of the public had an opportunity to speak. And looking for direction, discussion and direction from the board.
Yeah, this is Jeff Royer. You know, we've got an email from an ag member of the Shack, an environmental member of the Shack, the business representative to the Shack, and a county supervisor as an alternate to the board. I'm actually finding myself in the same boat between Orville Dam, Campfire, and now the Bear Fire. I mean, we put a family up for a year after the campfire. They recently moved back up the ridge. Today they evacuated again, likely to lose a second home, and we're putting them back up again. So this isn't something where folks up on the ridge who aren't involved in groundwater are the ones being negatively affected. It's affecting us all. And there's no way somebody can have any input or pay any attention to what we're doing with groundwater in the middle of all of this stuff. So I don't know if 2 years is something that we have any chance from the governor or the legislature to get, but I think it's a reasonable ask. We're just not going to have the public participation we need without being able to do it. And it feels like we are adhering to an artificial timeline in the middle of just hit after hit after hit at the county level. Thank you.
Board members.
This is Board Member Tuschinski. I, in fact, sent an email today to Ms. Herman asking if we were going to even have this meeting because of what was going on around us. So we are, in fact, in the epicenter. We can make that case very strongly, and perhaps even more strongly in our letter to if we want to go beyond 6 months. If we think that 2 years is the reasonable amount of time, we may need to make our case super strong, including what Board Member Royer just accentuated about the collateral impact beyond just what seems like the immediate disaster zones. However we do it, I'm not used to dealing with the high levels of the governor and what the governor thinks and whether 1 year seems more of a palatable negotiation point than 2 years. That's not my level of poker, if you will. I certainly think that 6 months is not enough. I can see that 6 months makes sense because that's where we are now, but it's certainly easy to extrapolate out another 6 months because clearly we don't have a vaccine now and we don't have other measures that suggest that the curve is going to be flattened or other things are going to happen within the next 6 months. So a year is the absolute minimum, I think. And again, if we decide as a group that we're going to go 2 years, I think if we make our case strongly, it's not a stretch. We just need to make sure that we make that hammer home. So that's my input.
Other comments or looking for, or entertain a motion?
Well, it's Steve Lambert. I'm kind of curious. I mean, we've gotten asked for this, but the reality is it probably won't happen. So then what do we do? Paul, I guess it'd be a question for you.
I think as Chair Swab said, as we're continuing on the path to get this plan done and trying to work and engage the stakeholders as best we can through this pandemic, and hope that we can modify things. But the point's well taken, and it was included in the plan. I mean, besides COVID, which everyone has faced, we've uniquely been hit repeatedly since Sigma came in, with a whole range of things that even now we're going to get pulled off into staff-wise and the public dealing with the bear complex and other things that are going to come down.
This is Board Member Tuschinski again. Steve, you've, as chair of the Board of Supervisors, have dealt with members of the state and state bureaucracy and state leaders. Do you think, in your experience, that a 1 year is more reasonable than a 2 year in terms of the way those folks think? Or do you think that a 1 year or 2 year doesn't really make much of a difference based on your calculations?
Well, of course, obviously the party I hang out in is in a minority position down there. So I think it's one of those things that if we had a person that was maybe in that bluer camp that could reach out to some of those folks, we might have a better chance. I don't know if our representative has much sway down there. He could talk and pray for us or beg for us, I guess. But I mean, everybody has problems now. Everybody in the state has fires. So I think we may have a better chance of all being in the same boat besides just Butte County, that seems to have the curse of the last 5-6 years. I don't know. I think a year's realistic ask. Two maybe, I mean, you might as well start with two, and it's like anything in life, right? Start one place and they let us work us back. But I just always wanted, like, to know, have a plan B if it doesn't come through. So that's only my thing.
So this is
running this program.
So this is Board Member Royer. Just a thought on Board Member Lambert's comments, or an observation, I should say. We're not in a critical overdraft situation here. And I think Jim Brobeck on the shack has made that observation a number of times. I think there is a environmental impact component, perhaps a paragraph that could go into this letter, reinforcing the fact that we are not a critical overdraft county. We are actually very close to balanced. This is much more of a long-term sustainability play, as opposed to an immediate crisis fix that we could reference in the letter and perhaps give the governor and legislature additional justification to take the pressure off a little bit and let us do this properly and engage the public. Thank you.
So hearing all that, I'd like to make a motion that we edit the letter to include 2 years. And just bolster our case with some of the points that we've raised here about overdraft, being not critically overdrafted, and just accentuating the distinct circumstances that we have here, highlighting those and delineating those. I know that's kind of a complicated motion, but I hope that it's clear enough to be a motion.
Board Member Cooper here. I'd like to go ahead and second that. I pretty much concur with Jeff and Evan and the discussion that we're having about extending as much as we can.
And I would agree. I think that we will have a much better plan if we can have some more time. It's not for lack of working on it and trying. And I guess the only thing they can do is say no or say maybe 1 year. So I think that if we feel that we can have a better plan with more time, then we should ask for this. So we have a motion by Board Member Tuschinski and a second by Board Member Cooper.
I have a quick question, and I don't know if I'm out of order, so correct me if I am. This is Board Member Royer. This is on behalf of Vina GSA. There are two other GSAs in Butte County. plus Tehama County's got a number of GSAs, I would assume, and they're dealing with the same aftermath we are. I don't know if there's a power in numbers here or other GSAs that wish to come into the fold on this. So I guess I'm asking that to you, Mr. Goslin.
Yeah, if the board acts, the Vina GSA board, as I said, we brought an item to the Butte County Water Commission, which Butte County is a GSA in the Butte sub-basin and also a member agency of two other GSAs. We've started to do some outreach to other sub-basins, working through some of our associations too, RCRC and NACWA. So we'll take this and again, given time through the fall before we get into the legislative season in 2021, there'll be time to do some outreach to other GSAs and maybe have people with similar circumstances and others who could join the effort.
Very good. So we're ready to take the vote. If Linda, do you take the vote? And we could click our yes, no down on the participant section, but we should take a vote.
Yes, but for those with audio only primarily. So Board Member Tuzinski?
Aye.
Board Member Cooper?
Aye.
Board Member Royer?
Aye.
Board Member Lambert?
Aye.
And Chair Schwab?
Aye. So the motion passes 5-0. Item 6.3 is a request to reschedule the November 11th, 2020 Vina GSA board meeting. The board is being asked to take action on this item. We have a report from Linda Herman.
Yeah, it's not really just a report, but I apologize. I didn't realize when I did the calendar that the second Wednesday was Veterans Day, November 11th of November. So I wanted to bring it back to the board to see if we could pick an alternate date for November. I don't know if we want to stay with that same week and do the Tuesday or the Thursday, which would be the 10th or the 12th, or if you want to just keep Wednesdays and do the following on the 18th, or any other suggestions that the board may have. And since we're doing remotely, we don't have the problem of finding a room, so that helps too, assuming we'll still be remote by then.
I will defer to the people that are busier. So Chair Schwab and Supervisor Lambert, I think, might have busier schedules. Perhaps Mr. Cooper?
This is Chair Schwab. I try to keep Tuesdays open. If we have any kind of special council meeting, that is the day that we usually have that. So it would be my preference to meet on Wednesday the 18th.
Board Member Tuschinski, that's fine with me.
Yep. Steve Lambert, I'm fine too.
Let's see if there were any members of the public that would like to address the board. Please raise your hand or make a indication on the chat that you'd like to address the board. Looks like we have Jim Brobeck.
Yes, we have a stakeholder advisory committee meeting on the day before the 18th. And so that's very timely, in my opinion. I like having our meetings right before the board meeting. So you have more to mull over, maybe. Although, since you like to form the agenda prior to that, I'm wondering if that would pose a problem. If the SHAC comes up with some new information that we would like to present to the board on the 18th, because usually the way it's laid out, we have our meeting and then it's quite a long time before the next board meeting, which gives whoever forms the agenda a chance to fold in some SHAC input. So, it's just something to consider. It's right after the SHAC meeting, and usually the SHAC meetings are either a week after or almost a month before. So just something to consider. case we want to do it the week before or something.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we had no emails on this item.
Correct.
Okay. So looking for direction from the board.
Do we need a formal motion on this or just
yes,
simply?
We're asked to approve a new November board meeting date.
Well, I'm fine with the 18th. I think that makes sense. And if there was something that was so off agenda that Shaq needed to talk about it, we do have business from the floor. So I'll make a motion that we switch the November date to November 18th.
Steve Lambert will second.
So I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Linda, can you take the roll, please?
Sure thing. So Board Member Tuzinski?
Aye.
Board Member Royer?
Aye.
Board Member Cooper?
Aye.
Board Member Lambert?
Aye.
And Chair Schwab?
Aye.
Thank you.
So we'll go to item 7, communication and reports. We have 3 committee updates. First one is the Vina Stakeholder Advisory Committee update. Report from Kelly Peterson.
Hi, yes, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Great, thank you. So this is really just serving as a written report to give you a quick update on the last SHAC meeting, which was on August 18th. That meeting summary has not yet been fully approved by the SHAC. So it's a little bit brief. However, they are meeting next week on the 15th, and that meeting summary will potentially be approved and posted on the website for more details. That's on the vinagsa.org website. And that's all.
Any questions for Kelly? Item 7. Well, the Rock Creek Reclamation District Memorandum of Understanding update, Paul?
Yes, we're still awaiting Rock Creek Reclamation District to consider and approve the cooperation agreement that we worked. I think it was discussed last time whether you had seen it. I went back, there was a draft that was presented in October. And since then, there were subsequent discussions and modifications. So the draft that's before Rock Creek, I included in the packet, but they have not scheduled action on that yet. But as soon as they do, we'll bring that cooperation agreement to the Vina Board for consideration. In the meantime, we're working under the spirit of that with Rock Creek.
Any questions of Paul?
One, Board Member Tuschinski. I was reading through the agreement, and it talks about a joint committee, and it sounded like that would be a Brown Act board versus just two, for lack of a better word, two staffs getting together. So how often would that group meet, since it is kind of a Brown Act board type of situation?
I don't know. That was their concept. My thought was, you know, we would have staff who would confer just to coordinate, and then we would run everything largely through our stakeholder advisory committee and invite them in and work through the public that way. But they insisted on having that, and I said okay, but they would organize it and run it and manage that. So I don't know, but that was as part of the discussion. They were insistent on that, and I wasn't too sure, but we can make it work.
Okay, thank you.
And this is Valerie. Just to add on that, keep in mind that committee is this, you know, the concept of the two GSAs working together, but that committee won't make any decisions. It is only empowered to make recommendations to the respective boards of the GSA. So just to put that in perspective, although there it's Brown Act and it's a committee, it really is an agency that recommends your board take action, but it's not a final decision maker.
Thank you for clarifying. Yeah, I'd seen in there that it said, you know, there was a unanimous consent and then it was a recommendation. It was an extra interesting little tripod, if you will, that I was just curious about, you know, the frequency about it, but I think I got a good handle on it now. Thank you.
Okay, and then the last report, the Tuscan Water District update, Paul Goslin.
Should unmute. The Tuscan Water District, we were notified by Butte County LAFCO, the formation of Tuscan Water District a few months ago, and received notice for comments, this agency and others. That application was later found to be insufficient and was withdrawn. We got a notification from LAFCO last week or the week before that the application has been resubmitted. And I think they found it sufficient, but they needed to gather signatures. And LAFCO said they're not asking for action now, but there may be a subsequent notice sent to the Vina GSA for comment. So if that does occur, we will take a look at the application package. We'll have discussions through the SHAC on possible recommendations to the Vina GSA to submit comments or recommendations to LAFCO. So that's the process.
Any questions or comments?
Me again, Board Member Tuschinski. So would that be the occasion that would trigger the legal group to convene? You had mentioned at our last meeting that the legal group that was going to evaluate some of the legal issues surrounding the Tuscan Water District had basically been suspended because of funding issues, but would come up when the county or our group had issues or was going to be hearing about the Tuscan Water District. So do you envision that group, the legal group, coming back together?
No, the legal group was going to evaluate broader processes concerning recharge or other sort of artificial recharge actions. So not just on a new water district, but it could be any entity who may do a recharge project. It was going to take a broader look at the law, some of the applications of it, and some broader applications in a collaborative way. Now that we have specific things, we have our own legal counsel who will take a look at specific applications like this or other types of projects. And so that will be part of the evaluation up through Valerie and then up through the Stakeholder Advisory Committee. And it may turn out that some of the recommendations may direct LAFCO to do certain things on limitations of that agency or what they may do in terms of recharge or other things. So we'll need to take a look and see what their application is, what they say, and then evaluate it from that point.
So as Board Member Tuschinski again, so would Butte County potentially do its own separate legal analysis with its own counsel on this question? Because again, I'm by no means an expert on this. The fact that you'll see in a moment, I took a class to trying to learn more about this through UC Davis Extension. And I asked a question about some of the legal issues about this because I'm trying to learn more about it. And it's a very open area of law, very complex area of law. And so it's conceivable that attorneys could have different interpretations or issues. So is this a possibility that, you know, Butte County could have a separate counsel and a separate opinion? I believe that's part of the reason why you wanted to have a collection of attorneys get together and discuss this broader issue. Did my question make sense or was my preamble too long?
Yeah, and so, yeah, having, right now you have two separate agencies. You know, Vina GSA is its own agency. Butte County, we got notified similarly. I think, I don't know if City of Chico did or others. So each agency through their legal counsel and review could review and make certain recommendations. Ultimately, the decision on what recommendations and comments go to LAFCO would be made by the respective governing boards. You know, so legal opinions, they may differ, staff opinions may differ, or the advice they get from different advisory committees may differ. The Shack may have different perspectives than the Butte County Water Commission or other advisory committees from other things. So that's the nature of it. But ultimately, this will all go to LAFCO, and LAFCO will be making the decision. So all of these will be comments. We're not making the decision on their formation.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I just want to make sure or give the public the opportunity to make any comments or ask any questions about our management committee updates. Looks like there are no comments. So with that, we will adjourn to our next regular Vina GSA board meeting on October 14th. All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
Good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Anne. That was good.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Carrie and everybody. Good job.